Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
So without further ado, it's my great pleasure, privilege to invite Pastor Danny Guglielmucci to the stage. Can we stand to our feet and honour the man of God, the father of our faith in Australia? Thank you, Pastor Danny.
Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. This is awesome. Who would want to be anywhere else than with God's family in every season of our lives? Boy, have I grown to appreciate the family of God through many challenges in life, which some of you are aware. One of our sons who lived here in Perth for a long time went through a severe brokenness issue, which many of you know the story, and if you don't, I haven't got time to tell you today, but we did feel the prayers of the so many great friends around the country at a time where you think this is something we'll never get over. And in a way you don't, but you know, walking with a limp with Jesus is better than walking straight without Jesus, because it's not really straight without Jesus, but you know, and always being conscious of his amazing grace, that in the midst of all that happens, he's there. He's with you. And God never ceases to amaze me. And, you know, some of you are aware that in 2016, our son, Chris, was killed by a lightning strike at the age of 39 at a youth camp. His two eldest kids were there and the two younger ones were staying with us. And that is a horrendous story. And yet my eldest grandson wants to be a youth pastor and finish the work his dad started. Only God can do that. In the midst of such trauma and sadness. And we do pain together, we cry together, we stand at the graveside together. And yet there's something of the peace of God. You see, I was born in South America, in a place called Montevideo, Uruguay. My dad was a missionary. I was born with an incurable disease. The doctor said I wouldn't live to see my first birthday. I was so ill that I would cry myself to sleep every night, and my parents just couldn't sleep because of the pain I was in. And one night my dad went to the cot and he got hold of me and he lifted me up before God. And he said, God, heal him and you can have him. Heal him and he can be a voice for you. And I'll hand him over to you. Or, Lord, we love him too much. Take him home. He's in too much pain. I had visible growths that I'd been born with. They couldn't operate around my abdomen. And the next morning, when Dad got up out of bed and came to the cot and realized that I'd actually fallen asleep after he prayed for me, all the growths had gone. He sits next to my mum in a retirement village now where mum's got dementia and doesn't know any of us. She has no idea that we lost our son. She's completely not with us in her mind. And he sits next to her every day just holding her hand. He lives around the corner from the nursing home. He gets up, cooks food for her, takes it to the nursing home. He's now 84, mum's 86. And he sits there every day from morning to night. And every now and then I say, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm on the road so much preaching. And he reminds me of the story. And yet, I was healed, but I lost a son. And the presence of God has been as real to me in that sad, broken time, as well as in the times of great breakthrough. He's been God all the time. And we need a gospel that doesn't change when things don't go the way we want them to go. Because we are a prophetic people. And when the word of the Lord is planted in you, it can never leave you. And even when I was in hospital with cancer this last 12 months, I remember the prayer my dad prayed when he dedicated me to the Lord. And I'm in hospital and I am being told that I might have to go on life support, and called my wife in after 24 blood transfusions. And while I'm in hospital feeling like this, God's downloading messages to me. The one I'm going to share today is one of them. And I'm thinking, God, you're giving me messages. Maybe I'm going to stick around for a while. But to trust him in every season is what it's all about. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Some of the young people are not so young now in this room might remember the youth camps we used to have here in Perth and around Australia, where I used to put on a wedding at the youth camp and people would come and get married to Jesus. And the young people would come down the front and they would grab the mic and they'd say, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Forsaking all others, Jesus, I'll give you my life. And thank you, Jesus, you're not going to divorce me because you signed the wedding certificate with your blood. And young kids would be bawling their eyes out. And well, during one of my really sad days and sad times, and I was going overseas to speak, and I went to France, to Paris, to speak at a pastor's conference in the midst of my pain. This was during the Michael issue. And I didn't know whether I had anything to give, but I wanted to be obedient to the call. Yeah. In a moment, we're going to talk about living called. Yeah. There's a difference, because when you live called, it's the call that makes the decision, wow, not your emotions and your feelings. But I'm on a plane coming down to land in London to catch our connecting flight, and I'm with a pastor friend of mine. And I said to him, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I really don't know if I can keep doing this. And he goes, you will. I said, I just need a word from God. Anyway, I play a game when I travel with friends when I go to different countries. And I'm Italian, you'll understand why in a moment. And because I always win this game, I go, who's going to be the first to bump into somebody we know? And he said to me, you're going to win that because you're Italian and everybody's your cousin. And so we land in London and we go into the Qantas Club waiting for our connecting flight. And a man comes out from the bathroom and he comes into the area where we're standing and he goes straight up to my friend. And he goes, hi, David, how you going? And I thought, he's rigged this. When I was grabbing a coffee, he's gone and asked someone to pretend he's our friend. And he starts talking to David and I'm just standing there. And then he looks at me again, turns around and he goes, are you Danny Gook? And I go, yeah, I am. I said, well, you look a bit different now. I remember you when you had hair. And when you were skinny, I said, yeah, I was so skinny once I had one stripe in my pajamas. But I said, but now they're turning into circles. So I said, you know what? I think you know. And he goes, you know what? My two boys went to a youth camp in Toowoomba, Queensland. There was only a few people there. And you had a wedding. And young people came to the front to get married to Jesus. And my two boys came forward at that camp. Just want you to know they're pastors today serving God. And Danny, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but God wants you to know, don't give up. So I start crying. I'm going, I've just been on a plane saying, I don't know if I can do this. Hey, Daddy, don't give up. I mean, I got goosebumps now just telling you the story. We get on the plane, we end up in Paris, and I'm preaching through an interpreter. And at the end, a guy comes up to me with a Spanish accent. And he goes, Pastor Danny, do you remember me? I said, no. He goes, 11 years ago in Pithwelly, Wales, you spoke at the AOG National Conference, and I was a policeman. And I came forward, and you prophesied over me that one day I was going to go to a strange place. And that God was going to do a miracle through me that others had a go, but it never happened. He said, a year ago, we planted a church here in Paris, in France, in a place called Devil's Elbow. We've got 50 people in our church, and people said a church would never happen there. And the word you prophesied 11 years ago has only just come to pass. And God wanted me to tell you that because he wants me to tell you this. Pastor Danny, don't give up. Number two. So I go home that night and I'm laying in bed, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. A man by the name of Bruce Hills, who was pastoring Garden City AOG in Brisbane, rings back and goes, Danny, I heard the beeps. Are you overseas? I said, yeah, I am. He goes, I'm so sorry, man. I've just been in prayer. And God's told me to ring you and tell you not to give up. Wow. My friend was sharing a room with me and he's going, are you hearing this? Next day, well, the next night, I think it was, another phone call. Guy called John Cameron from New Zealand. He goes, Pastor Danny, I had to call you. Because the generations need you. And we need you as a father. Please don't give up. Happened 7 times in a row. The last time I'd now left Paris, I'm in England and I'm preaching in the UK, and my wife's now joined me in the UK part of this trip, and I'm speaking at a conference in Bristol. While I'm about to speak, a man walks through the door and stops the meeting, a friend of mine that I'd known who lived in Wales, and he goes, "I don't want to interrupt, but I need to interrupt." He says, "I'm on my way to London, but I knew you were here, and I just, can I have 1 minute?" And he stops the meeting, looks to my wife, and he said, "God's still going to bless the fruit of your womb." Starts prophesying that when the prophet in the Bible put his hand in the mouth of a dead lion, and into that dead lion's mouth and pulled out honey, yeah. He said, out of the dead things in your life, God's going to bring sweetness and honey. This is before Chris died. This is before I got cancer. And he looks at me and he says to me, "While shepherds watch their flocks by night," we'd had the story of our son Michael hit the wall, newspapers on our front lawn, around the world, people cancelling my ministry because of my son's brokenness. It was a mess. Some people wanted me to resign ministry in our church. Other people wanted me to stay. I didn't know what to do. And he goes, "While shepherds watch their flocks by night," he said, "anybody can watch the flocks during the daytime when it's all shining. But when it's dark and it's night, you didn't leave your sheep." And he starts prophesying. My wife's crying. I'm crying. He leaves the room. I'm left in a mess. But see, we've had a weekend of the prophetic. And the prophetic's not for a moment. The prophetic is not just for this weekend until the next conference with another thing. But it's a building block in our life that in tough times we can look back on. So when my son dies and I'm questioning God, I'm going back over all those stories. Was that God? Was that God? How can all those guys know to ring me in a period of 2 or 3 days when I've asked the question on the plane, "I need a word from God. I don't know if I can keep doing this." And so what I'm about to prophesy over this church, there's a few things I said at the first service, but during worship, more stuff came. More stuff, and I've scribbled it, so now I hope I can read my scribble. Help me, Jesus. I believe God is calling this church to release a generational anointing. You'll have to get the first session to get some of the other stuff. And he said, Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, it says, each generation has to declare anew to the next the good things of God. Yeah. And I saw a picture during worship of missions trips and trips from this church where it's not just young people or middle-aged or old people, but all generations going together. I saw a picture of the family going together to places that don't know family. To places that don't understand family. And you're going to go, it says in Psalm 78 that the children of Israel, like a crooked arrow, verse 58 of Psalm 78, miss the target of God's will. Do you know there are churches that are trendy and they're doing well, but they're going to miss the target of God's will if we don't make this about future generations. It's not about one generation. And God has raised this house to be a generational church with a generational responsibility to raise up future pastors and leaders and people that go out, because the future generations need the declaration of what God's given to this house. And I said to God in worship, "What's God given this house?" He said, "Old patterns with a contemporary voice." Wow. Old patterns. See, the Bible never changes. You can be trendy but not have the patterns of Scripture. And there's a heart in your pastors, and we've not talked about this, that desires biblical rightness, biblical doing things biblically, not just because they're trendy, but because they're truthful. And God is going to get you to take the old values of Scripture, and they're going to become so new in people that have never seen those values that they think this is a new thing that's happening, but it's actually not a new thing. It's what God always intended. And so there's going to be a maturity with a sense of freedom and release. Yeah. So sometimes we try to hang on, mature, we're hanging on to the old ways, and there are roots in this church that go back generations. There are roots of God given patterns, and yet there's a new way of expressing them, but the patterns will be the same and they will bring about transformation. I felt the Lord, you've got to test all this, but I felt the Lord also say to me, you have been through different stages, but it's now time for a new era. Not a stage. Every stage you've been through as a church is setting you up for this new era, and it's not going to last for a month or 2 years. It's a long-term posture of the calling that's on this church to establish the will of God, and it's going to provide a spirit of revival. Now, you've got to hear me this, to revive old things. People that have been disillusioned by church are going to walk in here and go, but this is different because it's clean. This is different because it's got right motives. This is clean because it's pure. And people have been turned off by church, but they're going to walk in here and be turned on by Christ. And so, you know, so it's powerful to me because... you know, it's not about trend, it's about biblical pattern. Yeah. God wants you, this is the other one, God wants you to be a model. And so even the conferences that you're going to do are going to be different to other conferences. And they're not going to be measured by size, there was, I mean, a great attendance, but it's that's not the important thing. The important thing is the voice that speaks into this city and into the nations. And it's going to be a voice that people are craving to hear, and they think, but nobody's saying those things today. People that are being overpowered by numbers and contemporary and all that sort of stuff are going, yeah, that stuff's okay, but we want something deeper than that. We want something that is the Holy Spirit. We don't want the weird, but we want the right. Yeah. And I believe God's going to cause you to model something that future generations are going to hunger. Wow. God is anointing the young people of this church in a new way. And he's putting like those old patterns into new wineskins. And so young people are going to prophesy, but they're going to have an incredible spirit of honor. And so what's going to, I mean, I could keep going here. It's just flowing at the moment. A spirit of honor that all generations respect each other in this church. And we all have a place to be able to build the vision God's given our house. I'm trying to read my scribble here. You will bring family to broken places, love to loveless places, and direction to demoralized places. Wow. So, wow. I mean, it's being recorded so you can chase it later. But it's a generational anointing that God is raising this church. But, you know, there's a price. Not every church wants to pay that price. You're not called to be a local church. And that's great. Thank God for all the local churches that you have. But you're called to be an apostolic voice. And that voice has been sort of clarified as you've moved forward and as you've gone through seasons, but now it's a new era. Yeah. And in this new era, the voice will be clear. It'll be less stress. I've never been to a conference that's been more relaxed than this. It's very relaxed. It's not driven. It's not pushed. It doesn't have to happen. We just let God do what he wants to do. And I want to thank you as a church for your prayer meetings. I want to thank you for the prayers that you've put in. You know, it's easy as a speaker to come into prayed environment because you can throw away your notes, the Holy Spirit can speak, and it doesn't matter because you know God is speaking, and you can't do that everywhere. And I want to say big thank you. Can you give yourselves a clap today? And thank you for all that you've done. I do appreciate your hospitality. And just a little bit from what I said in the first meeting, God is calling this church to be a sowing church. You're already doing it. A surrendering church and a sending church. Yeah. You know, over the years at Edge Church, God would tell me to send people to other places, release them to other ministries, send them over. And people go, you're stupid. Why would you let go of them? Because it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. And this church has got a kingdom posture. So you have a surrendering heart, a sowing attitude, and a sending posture where, God, we will send whatever you want us to send. And as you water and bless others, God's going to keep bringing to the house future disciples and people that are going to grow quickly. They're going to come and they're going to quickly be discipled. Oh, wow, this is great. And then be released into all that God has. There is a reformation coming to the church. I wish I had all morning to talk to you about that. A reformation coming to the body of Christ in the Western world. Yeah. The Western world is quite different to some of the third world countries I go to, where people will walk 2 hours to get to church with a broken leg if they have to, and there's no depression. Now we got 6-year-olds, according to this morning's news, suicidal. Suicidal thoughts. 6-year-olds. One of the greatest suicide rates in the world. And the world doesn't need a pretend church. It doesn't need a talk it but nothing happens church. It needs authentic. It needs real. It needs godly. It needs compassionate. It needs loving. And I sense that anointing on this house. But having come out of the prophetic conference and thinking during the worship about my own story when I was born and all those things, I realize over and over again that this can only happen not just because of the leadership, but because every one of us lives called. Yeah. We're not just churchians. Yeah. We are Christians. Yeah. We're not just churchgoers. We are Christ followers. Yeah. And wherever we go on Monday, I wrote a book called Where Does God Go on Monday? Because his Sunday church, his hands reached up in worship, but Monday church, his hands reached out to the broken and the hurting. And they might be in your office tomorrow morning. There might be something happening at work and someone just needs your arm around them or a word of encouragement or a cup of coffee, but we've got to live called. I don't look for pulpits, but I do look for platforms. When I had cancer, 3 things that I've already shared at the conference very quickly for those of you that weren't there. God's peace never left my life. It so filled me with knowing that God's in control in the midst of the storm that I don't understand. But his presence was so powerful that doctors and nurses would come into my hospital room and go, something different about this room. Yeah. 3 people died one night from the same cancer that I had. Blood cancer. And I get out of bed, grab my suitcase at the hospital, straight to the airport to New Zealand to preach. And the doctor said to me, how do you do this? I said, well, I've got a purpose. It's not left my life. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a hero. But if I'm going to die, I'm going to die doing what I was put on the planet to do. I'm not doing it to get healed. I'm not doing it to get a freebie from God, you know. I'm just doing this because this is who I am. And while there's breath in my lungs...
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can't get your head around what happens in the natural, but we still serve God. You know that song from Hillsong, you know, every breath in my lungs. Well, I'm preaching in Queensland one night, and I'm preaching in Queensland, and I tell the story of my son, and a couple come up to me afterwards, and they go, we've lost 2 of our kids and our grandchild. You see, they had cystic fibrosis. And they couldn't breathe. And they died very, very young. And listening to your story, Danny, we just want to be here for you and Sharon. They flew down from a little country town in Queensland, came to Adelaide, came to church with us, and on the Friday night service, we're singing Every Breath in My Lungs. You know, we'll worship you. And they are worshiping God with tears running down their face. And they sang the song so over and over again, and these people have lost their kids because of a condition that couldn't breathe. And after, when we went out for supper, I said, I'm sorry we sang that song. Oh, no. Oh, of course, no. No, that's, you know, we have an eternal hope. We're going to see our kids again. Danny and Sharon, you're going to get through this. And they are encouraging us. Why? Because God's peace never left them. God's presence never left them. And they are still in their purpose today, serving God. Now they're going around helping country churches in Queensland and helping. You see, when we become centripetal, which means inward looking, that's the first stage towards being depressed. And I want to tell you, I don't want to be a depressed Christian. I want to be an impressed Christian by the things of God. And every breath in my lungs, no matter what happens, his peace, his presence, and his purpose. But that's all because I live called.
Yeah.
I don't live because the doors open up for me to serve at church.
Yeah.
Serving for me has never been, well, let's open a door for something greater. No, what an honor and a privilege to serve God when we know that every Christian's called. Yeah. Psalm 40 verse 8, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart.
Yeah.
Ever since I was 11 years of age, I knew for sure that there was a calling on my life, and that doesn't mean pulpit. That means a calling to be a Christ one, to be a Christian, to be able to represent him. I'm working in a menswear store and I told a different story in the first service, so you might need to get that recording. And I'm there one night and I'm serving away and a man comes in, big beard. He walks in and he goes, I've been watching you. He says, I come past here every Friday night and I pop in and have a look. You noticed I haven't bought much. But he goes, I need to talk to you. Can I have coffee with you after Friday night, late night shopping? I thought, I don't know this guy. I'm 19 years of age and he's in his 40s. So we went to Coles just next door to have a coffee. And he goes, there's something about you. And he goes, I don't know what it is, but I've got to find out. I said, well, I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, I used to be a Salvation Army officer. I was engaged to be married to a young lady. And my parents are disabled and they're in wheelchairs. And I said to my soon-to-be engaged partner, when we get married, I think Mum and Dad need to live with us because we don't know how else we can look after them. And she goes, well, if that's going to happen, I don't want to marry you. And she broke off the engagement. He got so angry at God that he walked out on God and said, stuff you. I am not going to follow you, and became a practicing Muslim. He later became the editor of the Islamic paper in our city. He became a writer for that faith, and I can't tell you the whole story. So when I told him I was a Christian, he goes, I don't know that I can come back. I have so denounced Christ, and you're the one that stood out to me. What's going on here? To cut a long story short, I invited him to my home for dinner, and one night he manifested. Wow. And the demons inside of him, inside my home, I had to call Pastor Freddie Evans from our church to come and help me pray. Wow. He denounced all that he'd been through, got tremendously born again, got the privilege to see him baptized, come back to Jesus Christ, and later he got very ill, and I wasn't a pastor, but I did his funeral. And I want to tell you, friends, when we live called, God will arrange for God appointments, disappointments. Don't waste time with disappointments. Set yourself up for God appointments, because we're a prophetic people. Yeah. And a prophetic people carry God with us everywhere we go. Yeah. And everything we do, there is a God opportunity. And to be able to stand next to that casket and see a man who denounced God and spat in the face of God, come back to faith, have a major born-again experience. And I was just a menswear salesman. And I thought, oh, sometimes I wish I was back there. I wish I was out there I am now. I'm in the community a lot. And I do a lot in the community because ministry is not what happens within four walls. And God is equipping this church to release this church, and he's equipping it. But we've got to be people who understand we've got to live called. Much research has been done that shows that mental health improves when we live for a cause. Mental health improves when we live for a cause. Let me tell you, there's lots of causes. I haven't had time to look it up on the internet, but I'm sure there's some weird causes out there. But I've seen enough of my own. People get passionate about climate change. That might be a good cause. I don't know what you think on that. Vegans standing in front of farms, calling us meat eaters and murderers. I wonder how Judas Asparagus went. Oh, no, who said that? Sorry. Sorry. That was just a moment. Our national anthem changing the words to young and free, to strong and free. Well, maybe that's a good thing, I don't know. But so many people give first class allegiance to second class causes. I like freeing from slavery, a good one, and poverty and abuse. And this church is involved in seeing some amazing things happen in Cambodia, and that's awesome. For some people, it's saving nature and animals, and I'm not against that, but Romans chapter 1 says we give ourselves to that and we ignore the Creator. Cancer research is good. Hey, Danny, because this is what one doctor said to me, a specialist. He says, Danny, people don't come through what you've been through very often. You carry hope. Would you like to be an ambassador for the Leukemia Foundation? Would you like to speak into this? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely, because I want to be a messenger of hope. Hey, guys in this room, we're messengers of hope. We're not messengers of religion. We're messengers of hope. But we've got to live with a cause. It was David who turned up on the field to bring food to his brothers that were about to face Goliath and didn't know what to do. And they were angry with him. They didn't want him to come to be on the field with them. They had issues with their brother and they thought he had wrong motives, because people will often judge you by what's inside of them. And he turns around and says to his brother, but isn't there a cause? Is there not a cause? 1 Samuel 17:29. And friends, the cause of Jesus Christ is the greatest cause in all. And if I didn't believe in eternity, my life would be a mess today with my son dead right now at the age of 39, and it breaks my heart. But do you know my son's last message before he was going to preach on the Friday night was live for eternity. His life message was eternity. He always preached on eternity. And let me tell you, I had a time with him the week before he died, and I said, Chris, what's your future hold? He says, I totally trust God with my future. My life is in his hands, Dad, and I just trust God. And that was the last words he spoke to me. He was dead Friday, and we found his message on the front seat of the car Friday afternoon. He passed away at 2 in the afternoon. At 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning, he'd been sitting in his car writing, and he wrote about keeping your eyes on eternity. Because we live from eternity, we have a cause, and we have a cause that's beyond this life. Let me tell you, no matter how many healings you have down here, you're still going to age and you're still going to die. People say, oh, I'm not under the curse. No, we're not spiritually, and we need to pray for healing. And I pray for the sick all the time because God heals, and I trust all that. But please understand, if he doesn't, I'm not joining another mob. I'm not going to become a Hare Krishna if God doesn't heal me. I don't have another God to run to. Either Christ is the truth, and the resurrection proves that he is. And because of the resurrection of Christ, I have an eternal hope. And I want to tell you, whether I die at 50, I can't die at 50 because I'm 63. By the way, on that, do you know for 10 years I had a voice inside my head? Listen to this about the prophetic. I had a voice inside my head for 10 years that says, you're going to die by the time you turn 50. Was there all the time. I went and spoke to people about it. I go, what is this? And then I'm preaching at Hillsong 13 years ago. Every year, Robert Ferguson, I preach the first Sunday every year. Robert Ferguson gives me a word. And I'm about to get up and preach. And he turns to me and he said, that voice inside your head is a lie. And you're not going to die before 50. And he knew nothing. But God did. So that's God. He could have stopped my son from getting killed, but he didn't, because I trust his sovereignty when there is no clarity, because the prophetic words in my life have been plenty and many to know that he's real. I believe in the resurrection. I made a decision to stay married to Jesus for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and I ain't going anywhere no matter what happens, because I live called. When you live called and you have the cause of Christ, it gives you purpose. Yeah. It makes you passionate. It positions you with the right people. You have not been brought... Can I say this? Now, this might be a little bit naughty. I hope it's not naughty, but please love me. You should never join a church because of what that church will do for you.
Yeah, great.
You should join a church and go, what's the assignment on this house?
Yeah, wow.
And how do the gifts on my life align with the assignment on this house? Too many churchians and go, what they do is they marry a church for a while, and that church will comfort them, and that church will connect them to other people. Then one day they don't feel comforted as much. Another day they don't feel connected as much, so they divorce that church and marry another one because they haven't embraced the cause.
Wow.
So you've got to go from comfort to connection to cause.
Yeah.
And this church is moving into a new era of cause.
Yeah.
And the clarity of that cause means whoever joins needs to join the cause, not just the comfort and the connection. Does that make sense? And so, you know, we need to live called, because then you will position yourself with people that carry that same call as you embrace it. And can I say this? If you don't know your call and you join a good church
and embrace the call on that church, God will unpack your call as you serve that call. It positions you, it prioritizes you. There is a price to pay, but there is the pleasure of knowing that in the pain that may come, it's not wasted. You know what God said to me when my son died? He said, don't bleed with your pain, bless with your pain. He said, let the tears that you cry become a river of refreshing for those that come after you. You see, I want to live like that even if there's pain, because I love living called. I want the musicians to come. Thank you. Every Christian should live called. Every Christian leader should live called. And every church corporate should live called. The postures of called people, if I can take a couple of minutes, is that we're consecrated people. We're devoted to the call. We're committed people, number two, because we're obedient to the call. We are people of revelation and the prophetic, because we want clarity of the call. Do you know when Jesus told Peter to launch into the deep? You know when he told him? You know when Peter launched into the deep in Luke 5? After Jesus finished speaking, Peter launched into the deep. We need churches that wait for Jesus to finish speaking. Because presumption's not faith. You step out with a good idea, you're on your own. But if you wait for Jesus to finish speaking because of the prophetic and revelation, then Jesus will bring the big catch in and he will be responsible. How good's that? That's so helpful to me. People that are called will confess the call. I tell my story, but I don't talk and bleed over people because of my story. There's worse than me out there. But I confess what I'm called to be in the midst of it all. I continue in the call, which is about resilience under pressure. I celebrate the call. I delight to do your will, O God. And I complete the call because I want to finish strong. I'm one decision away from becoming a total idiot. One decision. I visit people in prison and there's old men in prison. One decision. Lived a good life. One decision. And yet we can make a decision to live called. And I made that decision a long time ago to be married to Jesus. I've never gone back and go, are we still married? Do I still stay married? No, when I got married to Jesus, it was for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. I live called. Father, today, over this great house, I pray after this prophetic conference that, Lord, there'll be an anointing over this house that from tomorrow morning, stories will begin right across this room in people's lives of the adventure of the called. Father, I pray that the anointing that's flown through this conference, come into this conference, will affect every single person planted in this house. And as they go to their place where they work, that there'll be a sense of divine knowledge come, and that they will be able to be the called, ministering to the broken, ministering to needs. Father, I pray that this church won't have moments of this, but it will have a DNA of this. It will have a posture of this. And I want to, Father, on your behalf, anoint this house again to be the called people they called to be, to move into a new era that's going to last a long time as it ushers in a revival spirit. And Father, I pray for that, because we've had different seasons, but now we need that era. Father, I pray that through the supernatural, this church will see many people come to Christ, come to you. That the supernatural won't just be for Christians. But I pray that through this house, the supernatural will become a tool of evangelism. Yeah. And that people will come to you because they cannot deny the power of who you are. Wow. Yeah. I release this house today on your behalf, Jesus, to be the prophetic house you've called it to be. A sending, blessing, and bending church. Bending to your will. Blessing people and sending people, because it's committed to kingdom and not itself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, I'm sorry I've gone a little over. I'm just so excited for you. You keep distracting me with all these great thoughts that come in it. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, I love you guys heaps, but you might be here today and maybe you used to go to church, but you don't go anymore because you got jaded by the church. Maybe you've never been to church. Maybe this is the first time, or you've been a couple of times and maybe you just feel a little suspicious. Is this a cult? Is this place for real? And I can promise you, we would be the most evil people if we had a hidden agenda or just want to build our world or be something that was never intended to be, that would be adding more pain to your life. But I want you to know this place brings the true Jesus to its community, the one who died on the cross, died for our sins, rose from the dead. And today you go, oh, I'd love to hear his voice. I don't know if he's real, but if he's real, I'm disconnected from him. Maybe today you will know if you're disconnected from God, if he's never been part of your life. And today you say, well, look, I'm not sure how this all works, but the Bible says if we believe in our heart that Christ is who he says he is, and we confess with our mouth that he's Lord, we shall be saved. Saved from the things that destroy us and saved from a bad eternal destination. To have an eternal destination in heaven with God is a certainty we can carry like my son did. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, if you say, Pastor Danny, pray for me today. I don't quite understand it all, but I want to open my heart. And if this is real, I want it to be real to me. And I want God to reveal himself to me. If that's you, I'm not going to do anything crazy. I'm just going to ask you, while everybody's got their eyes closed, just to slip up your hand so I can see where you are, so I can pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else today? Just slip up your hand high. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, darling. God bless you. Somebody else today? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. I want this to be so real for you, sir. Anybody else? Such a beautiful, sweet Spirit of God. Thank you. God bless you. You can put it down again. That's awesome. Anybody else? This is the most exciting thing when people discover, oh, I couldn't do my life without God. I don't want you to go another day without God. Maybe you think, well, I go to church. I think I'm a Christian. And I'm not just trying to get numbers here right now. I just want you to know if there's a disconnection. I use that word deliberately. Please get connected back to God today. Lift up your hand. I'll see it. This church will help you on that journey. Is there anybody? Quickly now. Father, I thank you. Could you all pray after me? Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much. Reveal yourself to me today. I will follow you as you open my eyes to see you. Take away the blockages, Jesus. And I want to connect with you. I receive you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. That's no magical prayer. It's just what I felt from my heart. Father, everyone that raised their hand and others that may still feel disconnected from you, I pray today that you will so reveal yourself to them like you've done to most of us in this room today. And may you become not a religion for us, but a relationship of Jesus Christ being real, giving us eternal hope, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, I love you. Sorry, I've gone a little over. I'm trying to squeeze it all in. But listen, it's been an honor. You've loved on me so much. You know, having come through a year of terrible sickness, to come into an environment of such hospitality and love, it's been healing to me. So hope to see you again sometime. Love you heaps. God bless you.
Just continue to show your appreciation to Pastor Danny. Such a father. Such a father. All over this place, why don't you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.